Over the past 2 days, ESPN, social media, and other sports outlets have been frantically trying to cover the on-again, off-again roller coaster of Power 5 football. Who's playing and who's not? What happens to Penn State and Ohio State if they don't play? How much money is Oregon going to lose by not playing this year? Are the student athletes safe to play, or is the risk too great? These questions have been asked by ADs, coaches, student athletes, and fans all over America for the past number of weeks. From Alabama to UCLA, everyone is trying to figure out how to do athletics during a pandemic. Well, did you know that Division I sports is not the biggest part of the NCAA membership? In fact, Division I has 350 schools for 32% of the membership, while Division II and Division III make up nearly 70% of the rest of the membership. Almost 750 schools total. On this episode of The Vertical View, I talked to an AD at an NCAA Division III school. Mr. Jerry Fisk, the Director of Athletics at Fredonia State University of New York, joins The Vertical View to discuss how a non-Division I or Power 5 conference school has planned to reopen their school, and how and what he has been doing to deal with COVID-19 last spring, during the summer, and now preparing for the 2020 fall semester. Jerry Fisk became the Director of Athletics at Fredonia State in December 13, 2017. He has a Business Admin degree from Roberts Wesleyan College in Rochester, New York, and a Master's in Athletic Administration from UNC Chapel Hill. Fun facts about Fredonia State: they are located in Western New York. Enrollment of 4,700 students. The mascot are the Blue Devils. And they are a member of the State University of New York Athletic Conference, or the SUNYAC. Fredonia State is a member of the NCAA Division III with nearly 350 student athletes and 19 varsity sports. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's get vertical. Welcome back to The Vertical View. And with us now is the Director of Athletics at Fredonia State University. It is Mr. Jerry Fisk. Welcome in, Jerry.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's my honor. Jerry and I go way back to our days at our undergraduate Roberts Wesleyan College, and so now it's been fun to watch Jerry as he's gone through walking up the totem pole of athletics, and now as the Director of Athletics at NCAA Division III in the SUNYAC, Fredonia State, the Blue Devils, as they are known. And Jerry, last semester, COVID-19 caused just incredible shutdowns, including in athletics, in college, the pros, and honestly, Jerry, it shut the whole world down. So as you were there in Fredonia and COVID-19 started to spread across Western New York, what was happening at Fredonia State within your department, and then how did everything kind of shut down in March and April for you guys?
Yeah, so it was certainly a tumultuous time. We started looking at things as we started hearing more and more, and the NCAA started having meetings. We got together as a SUNYAC governing body, the ADs of the SUNYAC, and we had a conversation. And when it first happened, there were a lot of conferences and schools that said, you know, we're going to press pause until April 1st, and we're going to sort of see where this goes. And my take from the beginning was, I think this is something we need to just sort of cut bait and move on from. But we are always serving the student athletes and trying to do what's best for them and try to keep people engaged and give them the experience that, you know, so many of us enjoyed. And so we did. We pressed pause till April 1st, and about 3 hours later, the NCAA made a move and canceled more and more of the spring. And we got right back on the phone, and we canceled. It was crazy. I may be in athletics for a long time, and I don't know that I'll do something much harder than meeting with all the spring teams who had just started their seasons and saying that your season is over. That's a tough conversation, but that's what campus was. And we moved through plans to go to remote instruction and virtual instruction. And I was actually teaching a course at the time, and tried to move my own course online. And it was certainly a time that caused a lot of angst and a lot of worry as we tried to make all of these conversions right in the middle of doing it. You know, when you sometimes you have time to plan and you can do it, and sometimes you just have to do it on the fly. And there were so many things we did on the fly that there was no playbook for.
That's right. You
know, we'd never been through anything like that, and it was hard. Student athletes took it really hard. You know, seniors had their careers ended by the AD in a meeting room.
Right.
And that's never how we want things to go. So it was a unique experience that I hope I never go through again. I hope none of us ever go through again. But we quickly canceled seasons. We actually, our baseball team was sitting at the gate to catch their flight from Rochester to Florida for spring for their spring training trip.
Wow.
And I called them back from the gate.
Wow.
I'm grateful they were at the gate and not already boarded the plane, but that's a tough spot. And kudos to their coach and to so many of the student athletes for handling it with class when I know it was a really tough situation for so many people.
Yeah. And that is the ultimate for an athletic director and a coach, really, is to have to tell a student athlete it's over. Talk a little bit about how your coaches and your support staff, what did you all do to during those next couple months while you were still trying to do online school? They're likely, most of them are probably still on campus or around campus. What were some of the things that you all did? I know one of the things you did is you still did your Freddies or your end of the year award ceremony. And I think those are things that continue to let the student athletes know that we care. So what were some of those things that you all did at Fredonia?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We, first of all, we all started telecommuting almost immediately. No one was actually left in the building. Essential staff, as determined on campus, were those that were needed to be on campus to keep things moving forward. And those of us that could work from home telecommuted from mid-March until mid-June. We went from not even understanding what Zoom was to all being masters of the Zoom domain pretty quickly.
Right.
We got good at meetings like that. We continued to try and support the student athletes on a very regular basis. But also the spring is such a big time for recruiting that I was on recruiting Zoom calls with many of the teams to just try and help answer questions and help soothe some of the things that they were worried about and let them know what our plans were as we work through this. And it's a testament to the coaches. It's a testament to the culture that we have in the department that we actually got through it as well as I think we could have.
Sure.
We continued to support them. The department had an all-time high GPA. And some of that had to do with the change in the middle of the semester and everything else, but our student athletes kept getting after it. Our coaches kept supporting them. Our campus stepped up and made resources available to us, whether it was the academic advising group learning how they could do what they were doing online really effectively, or the tutoring center making virtual tutoring something that could happen. It was as many negatives as we've seen in the world in the last 6 months. It was really great to see a number of people step up and sort of rally behind our students and our student athletes and try and support them, because they, like most of us, they didn't do anything to deserve this. I can only imagine what it would be like if our experiences had been interrupted like this. And to see them handle it with class and with dignity, and to understand that this too shall pass, and this is something that we'll get through, and we just have to, you know, focus on the things we can control, and try to nail those things, and know that we're not islands, and we need each other for support. And the way that pieces of that happened to rally around one another was one of the positive things that I think has come out of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, and I'll give you kudos to your coaches and likely to your athletics communication staff. Your presence online was very strong and very positive. You know, you've got nearly 350 student athletes, yep, 19 varsity sports, and your presence online really gave, I think, a nice celebration to the end of the year in a very awkward setting, to say the least. So, you know, pass that on to your staff that it was noticed even by somebody here in South Carolina.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think they, there was a lot of uncertainty of what we were going to do. You know, we've done the Freddies for a couple of years in the sort of the way that we were doing them this year. And when we realized that that wasn't going to happen, I think it all took us, we all took a minute and licked our wounds and figured out, you know, this thing that we were so excited about and put so much work into, what's it look like and how do we do it? And I think ultimately when we sort of boiled it down, it's all about paying tribute to the student athletes and the coaches and the staff that put so much blood and sweat and tears into what they're doing. And it wasn't an accident that the number one play in our top 10 plays of the year was my acknowledging the perseverance and the courage of our student athletes during such a tough time. Because I think that's the, you know, we can have games with lots of saves and score lots of goals and all of those kind of things. But that was the piece that's going to define last year's legacy to me, is how we pushed through it and how people rallied and supported one another. And I think it speaks very highly of a lot of the folks that we have around here.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. We're talking to Jerry Fisk, Director of Athletics at Fredonia, Division III school in Western New York. Jerry has been the athletic director since December, I think the 13th in 2017. So you are just past 2 years being in this chair, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So talk a little bit about, and I might know the amount of meetings that you're in. In fact, you were just jumping out of a meeting to join us today, and likely you're going to be jumping into another one later on this afternoon. But what has the summer been like? Every summer you plan and you do all your assessments and all, you know, all the reports. But this summer you've had to add in planning for how are we going to navigate through COVID-19 and try to have a fall season. Now, we know some of the answers about the fall season, but let's talk about the summer and the planning. Give kind of the listener an idea of what does an AD do during these times? What did that kind of look like for you?
This summer was hurry up and wait. You know, we had multiple plans. First of all, the SUNYAC got together and we had nearly weekly video conferences with the other ADs in the SUNYAC conference. All 10 of us would get together with the commissioner, and we'd talk about where we thought things were headed and what we could support and how things were being impacted on each of our campuses, so that we could have plans in place. And gosh, at one point, I think we may have had, Fredonia and I may have had as many as 17 working plans that had some degree of teasing it out as far as how things would work. And at the same time, at a public school, we're awaiting word from the governor. We're awaiting word from the chancellor. We're awaiting word from our president on campus and cabinet on campus. We're awaiting word from the NCAA. We're awaiting word from the SUNYAC as a conference. And so we're putting all this thought into what the fall might look like and how we can best serve and all of those kind of things. And we know that almost all of what we're putting together is contingent upon someone's decision that we have no control over the decision or the timing of the decision.
Right.
So it was quite a summer. It certainly made us appreciate when we did get information. And I think it gave us some, it enhanced our skill set when it comes to critical thinking and problem solving and working through some of these things, because I recently became an RV owner. And I can tell you, when you get your first apartment, living with your parents kind of prepares you, or living on campus if you go to school, kind of prepares you for owning an apartment.
Right.
Nothing prepares you for owning an RV unless you've owned an RV. And that's kind of what this summer was like. There's no playbook. We're all guessing what's going to happen and trying to make our most educated guesses. And we're trying to work through all of the plans that we might need. And we're trying to make sure that we are very mindful of our student athletes and all of our other stakeholder groups, alum and campus and coaches and staff, et cetera. And at the same time, we're essentially holding onto the wheel, white knuckling it as others figure out their answers. Yep. And then we get a little piece of information and a tidbit from here and one from there. And every one of those moves us closer to a resolution of what a plan might be. But sometimes those decisions that they're giving us are mutually exclusive.
Yes.
So the NCAA says something, but then the state of New York says something else, and the two don't jive. And so now we've got to sort of stop and think and pause and contemplate about what it really means for Fredonia and what it means for our student athletes and how we can implement that on our campus. So I think that this summer gave me an opportunity to work on my patience. I think it gave me an opportunity to work on my critical thinking. I think it gave us a real opportunity to look at how and why we're doing some of the things that we're doing. I saw a lot of schools that were putting out version after version after version of the plan, and it put them in a tough spot because it was hard to control the messaging because they had too many narratives out there. And so we tried to be a little more mindful through the summer of not sharing information, but sort of sharing governing tenets and what was going to go into those decisions and how we were going to emerge out the other side and what groups we were waiting for decisions to come from. So it was definitely a unique summer.
So then the dominoes started to fall, right?
Yep.
And some of these outside entities, but certainly ones that help govern what you do day to day, started to make decisions. So on July 20th, I believe, the SUNYAC decides we're not going to compete in the fall. And then August 5th comes along, and the NCAA Division III says we're not going to offer fall championships. And so then those dominoes start to fall, and then you're starting to, I would assume, have to go back and retool the plan for Fredonia at that point. Let me read this. A good friend of mine, and you may know him, it's Dr. Dwayne Agard, former AD, who's now teaching at Catawba in North Carolina. He says, my first lecture of the semester is entitled Life Without Sports and Everything That Has Happened Since. And that just seems so fitting to our conversation today when the dominoes started to fall and now you sit at Fredonia in the AD chair and the SUNYAC says we're not competing and Division III comes out and says we're not offering championships in the fall. Now where does Fredonia Athletics sit?
So the 20th of July was something because we didn't know exactly what that meant other than we weren't having competitions in the fall within the conference. But at that point, there could have been an opportunity for non-conference, and there's still that carrot at the end of a NCAA Division III fall championship. When fall championships were canceled, I think it was a sobering day for a lot of us. Because it, as I talked about those 17 plans I had in place, not one of them fit exactly the scenario that we found ourselves in. And so if you want to feel humble, have 17 plans and they all whiff. And so we could fortunately adapt a couple of those and keep moving closer. But yeah, it was tough because we start talking about what do practices look like? Do we practice? Who's coming back to campus? All of those kind of things. And I have seniors that have played for 3 years coming back and they say, I play a fall sport. What does that mean for me?
Right.
With my college career over. And some of these were juniors in the spring that I had to have that meeting with and tell them that their spring was over. And now we're starting to look at, you know, some of them are dual sport athletes and things like that. Is their career over? And, it's that was a tough spot. I think that if I'm being really honest, there was a period of time there that probably took about 24 to 36 hours to stop feeling sorry for myself and our department and grab it by the bootstraps and start getting after it and figure out what we could do instead of focusing on what we couldn't do.
Well, let me interrupt you there.
Yeah.
And because there's been a ton of confusion in regard to what's happened just in the last couple of days, and we're recording this on August 12th, and just prior to the 12th, we had the monstrosity of a decision of the Big Ten and the Pac-12.
Right.
And what they've done is postponed football, and what they're saying at the moment is that they're hoping to play in the spring.
Right.
So when the NCAA came out at the D3 level and said, we're not offering fall championships, you've used the word canceled. Is that indeed what has happened?
So fall championships are canceled for the year for the NCAA. Originally, they were postponed and said they weren't going to be conducted in the fall. And then subsequently, they said they would not be offered in the spring.
Okay.
So where we are now is hoping that the world changes to a place where we can conduct conference championships and we can have abbreviated seasons in the spring for our fall sports. That's what we're going to do. Okay. And, you know, having been in this chair, there are a lot of people that are excited that we might have fall sports in the spring. Well, there are also so many challenges to having fall sports in the spring and supporting winter and fall and spring sports at the same time with our limited support staff.
Right.
And who knows what guidelines will be in place at that time as far as so many things that could impact the crowd or referees or testing that still leaves us in a spot where we're not sure. But I think that there's a genuine desire to see if we can support those seasons in the spring.
So in the fall, so let's talk your soccer teams.
Sure.
Are they practicing now? Do they have to work within guidelines from the NCAA there? And then also talk about if they are or aren't, that they're probably still working out. What kind of testing and those types of things are you guys doing?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. No one is back yet. With the dates that were allowed, we would have had some teams that arrived on campus this week. But knowing that we're not preparing for fall competitions, we pushed it back just a little bit, so they're coming in with the student body at large. Seemed to make a lot of sense for us in a lot of different areas. One of the things that's interesting is there are a lot of schools that are doing testing, and that's not the stance that we're taking. The CDC says something along the lines, and I paraphrase, that testing of students before they enter campus hasn't been studied. They're not sure what it would mean if it was studied, if it would have a positive or negative correlation to any impact. There's also a thought that if there are negative tests when you come back to campus, it could lead to laxity and not thinking that you need to keep doing what you're doing because everyone is currently testing negative. So currently the CDC doesn't recommend entry testing of returning students, faculty, and staff. A lot of schools are doing it, and I don't know that I think it's a bad idea, but we're not doing it here. But what it means for practice, practices are going to look different this year. Many of our conference mates are requiring masks for the entirety of practice, with the exception of water, practice in the water or consuming water. The NCAA has put out directives that the first 14 days, which they're calling a gating period, requires groups of 10 or fewer for practices. And only with the most recent version of the rules, the guidelines that they sent out, does it actually allow shared equipment. So until a week ago, we were looking at the first 14 days of soccer practice being less than 10 people, no one touching the same ball throughout practice. My question that I asked our soccer coach a few times is, how does that impact a goalie? I'm not sure if a goalie had to shoot on himself so that no one else touched the ball. Fortunately, we're in a space now where we can have shared equipment, but we're looking at pods. We're looking at different start dates and end dates. For instance, fall sports might start around Labor Day, but they conclude around mid-October, and they're on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Spring sports are the same time, and they may only go Tuesdays and Thursdays, or maybe Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And then winter sports start up when one of those is concluded, because we're really trying to impact the density, especially in athletic training rooms and spaces like that, to make sure that we're trying to maintain as safe a facility and as safe a guidelines as we can.
So at this point, Jerry, is Fredonia bringing all students back to campus for face-to-face? Or are you giving them opportunity to do both and kind of a hybrid, or are you into completely online?
So all of the above. You can stay home and go completely online with asynchronous learning, where the class might be from 10 to 11:20, but you don't actually have to be online from 10 to 11:20. You sort of are going at your own pace, and it may be done via modules or forums or things like that. It could be completely online, and there's synchronous learning, meaning you have to be online learning together at the same time, even though you could be doing it from home. There are in-person classes for some of our majors and for things like labs, for things like performances with our music industry and our other music majors. And then there's also a hybrid model where you may be on campus you may be attending on-campus classes one day a week. The other day could be synchronous or asynchronous. And you are not welcome to the classroom on the day that's not your assigned classroom day. So there's a few different models in here. One of the things that I look back, this whole thing started just about 5 months ago. And in five months ago, if I'd have told you that we were having a conversation about synchronous and asynchronous learning and the gating period and pods and things like that, it would have been something from a science fiction book. But now it's the reality of what we can do to try and maintain any semblance of what we've always done. And so, every student athlete is coming to practice in their own practice gear. They are leaving without going into a locker room. They're bringing their own water. They're bringing their own mask. When they're done for the day, they're going home in the dirty practice gear. They bring it back the next practice, and we will wash it before the third practice. So there's a rotation of practice gear. Our athletic training staff is going to do as much outside as they can. Our strength and conditioning staff has got gaiters loaded up with equipment so that they can take it out to the tennis courts or out to a grassy area and have benches and have dumbbells and have, other equipment that they want to train. And that's what it is. Right now in New York State, there is no use of indoor facilities, no ice rinks, no pools, no gymnasiums, no fitness centers, no performance centers. none of those are able to be used within the current guidelines. So we've got to try and be creative to try and bring everything outside so that we can do what we need to and support those student athletes and let them continue to participate and practice in those sports that they love so that if there's a spring season, we're ready.
Sure. Sure. And it sounds like you guys have really been outside the box, and maybe that is actually a phrase that is no longer, as almost every day we get up, we have to do outside the box thinking just to navigate through a day.
Absolutely.
So kudos again to you and your staff for kind of getting through just the day to day right now. Kind of move into this section now, out of what specifically Fredonia, but into the country at large. And you've mentioned a couple times the differences in what New York State is allowing or not allowing and what that does to you and your decisions. How is it being worked out maybe at the D3 level with schools that might have better opportunities to scrimmage, let's say, or even try to get some games in the fall, though there's not a championship? What is that doing for the schools that are in your situation where, man, right now you're kind of really handcuffed?
Yeah. Well, the thing about the conferences that we would participate, would play against in non-conference play, we're all in the same boat.
Okay.
Everyone has canceled everything for the fall. We're all trying to figure out how to do practices. We're all trying to figure out what the spring is going to look like and how to work through that. It certainly is different for private schools in New York than it is for some of us in
sure.
just in the sort of progression of information and how it works and what we need. I have a coach who's very in tune to the governor's press conferences, which would come on like 11:30 every day. And so I get an update from that coach sometime around 12:30 or something about this is what was said. And then I could go try and find the official document. So I had it in writing.
That's great.
But it was the same hurry up and wait and hurry up and wait. And, you know, we've heard there's going to be talk of the quarantine period going from 14 days to 10 days. Well, that was a lot of hubbub about that a couple of weeks ago. It's still 14 days. And so you've got to sort through the information and see what's real and see what's, rumor out there that it might be helpful to what you're doing, but it might not be what's supported at the state level.
Sure. So let's talk about basketball.
Yeah.
Is the SUNYAC, are you right now, are your basketball coaches thinking we're going to start practice at the normal time, or have you already pushed them back?
Yeah. So, the answer to that is different across the SUNYAC. The NCAA actually came out and said that D3 can start practice for winter sports on October 1 because we're doing countable days instead of countable weeks this year, which is kind of a different model, but it gives more freedom and flexibility to meet the demands of our facility and our staffing. And so some schools are looking to start winter sports practices on October 1st, basketball being a winter sport. And some are holding off a little bit longer. I think we're going to probably go with the date a little bit later in October just to make sure that we are providing for that decreased density and helping athletic trainers manage their workload. When we have 3 athletic trainers and 19 teams, it can be chaotic and they work their tails off, but it just doesn't always. If we can help them with the scheduling, I think that's a good place for us to be. So they know that we're not going to start practice until the middle of October. We actually knew some time ago that all of our campuses were going to remote learning after November 20th. So some students, if they choose not to go home for Thanksgiving, can finish the semester online, on campus. But even if they're on campus, their classes aren't in person. All of the instruction and all of the finals will be done remotely. So I think it's going to encourage a lot of people to go home at Thanksgiving and then sort of ride that out until they come back after the first of the year. One of the things that we did in the SUNYAC, it might have been in early June or mid-June, is we started working on alternate schedules. So long before any of this became official with us canceling as a league or the Division III canceling fall championships, we had schedules in place that did a couple of things. One, we went to a divisional model so that everyone's overnights were cut down, everyone's travel was cut down, time on a bus was cut down, because we were hearing different things about how many people we could put on a bus or in a van. And some of our close trips, we just take vans.
Sure.
But when you hear that you may only be able to put 4 people in a van or only 12 people on a 44-passenger bus, there's some pretty long-ranging impact from that, whether it's right. budgetary or whether it's even trying to work with our local bus company to have enough buses. So we actually had a divisional schedule set up for the fall sports that we may implement for more than just the fall sports. That's not official yet, but it certainly – ticks a lot of the boxes of the things that we're working on right now. And as we knew some of these things were going to be limited, we tried to meet the NCAA minimums for sports sponsorship in terms of games with conference games. So
right
now we're in a spot where we have schedules that can start early in January or late in January for all the winter sports. And we have shortened schedules with number of days, but not actual dates set where we could roll out spring and fall. So we're in a pretty good spot with that. And now it's just more of that hurry up and wait so that we can see how things are evolving and revolving and then make some decisions about what we can support in the spring. But yeah, we actually got in front of the curve a little bit there, which I think helped us now because, as you try to be ready for students to come back to campus, it'd be a tough spot to be talking about everything at the conference level. You kind of have to drill down to what it's going to look like on our campuses. And so because we had some of those things taken care of, we're now all focused on our own campus and what move-in looks like. And there's a number of different models for what fall practices will look like. But I think all of us are going to be able to support it in one way, shape, or form, which I think it's a tribute to the leadership that we share, and I think it's also a tremendous service to our student athletes to try and maintain some semblance of normal.
That's great, and I'm so happy to hear that athletic directors and athletic administrators across the conference have had open dialogue, and you've been very proactive. Jerry, as wrap up this section of our time, and then I want to have a shorter time when we talk a little bit about Power Five and impending football and all of that. I'd like to hear your opinions. What would you want Blue Devil Nation to hear from their leader on August 12th, 2020?
That's a great question. I think it's we're working our tail off. There's nobody in the building with me that doesn't care as much as I do, and we can't wait to have them back. We're ready to celebrate them in practice. We're ready to celebrate them in games. We're ready for the experience that we want for them and they want for themselves to come to fruition. And we just hope that things evolve in a way that allows that to happen sooner rather than later. We appreciate the heck out of the parents and the boosters and the faculty and the staff and the student athletes and how everybody's come together, and just know that we're not done pulling on the same rope yet. We've got some work left to do, but we're going to get through it, and man, are we ready for it.
So we're listening to Jerry Fist, Director of Athletics at Fredonia. Fredonia is in New York, Western New York. Enrollment around 4,700. The mascot is the and they compete in the State University of New York Athletic Conference of the SUNYAC. If you want to follow Jerry, you can follow he and his athletic department at FredoniaBlueDevils.com or follow him on Twitter at Jer Fisker. That's JERFISKER, Jer Fisker. He's a good follow, so get on Twitter and follow Jerry. Jerry, before I let you go, I'm really interested to kind of hear your thoughts, and this is just going to be Jerry's opinion. Now, Jerry has a master's in athletic admin from UNC Chapel Hill, and he happens to be a big Tar Heel fan. And he's got some great stories. We can't get into all that today. But Jerry, what are your thoughts on Power Five and all the things that have happened over the last couple of days, and I sit here in ACC country now, right outside of Clemson, South Carolina. What are you hoping to see out of the Tar Heels and the ACC, and then just generally, what are you thinking about college football for the fall?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm torn, as I think administrators in those conferences are, because in one hand, if you can make it happen, you'll have such an energized fan base that you can't have come to your games, that it'll really help, I think, with the morale of areas of the country. Now, sure. The other side of that is, if I'm Bubba Cunningham, or if I'm at Georgia, or I'm at Tennessee, and I'm hearing that I'm not going to be able to put, 60 to 110,000 fans in the seats, I'm thinking, personally, Jerry Fisk, how hard am I pushing for this? Because that's a huge revenue that we're losing. That if we could do it in the spring, I saw a number that a school like Georgia probably makes about $8 million for a football weekend between ticket sales and impact in the local economy. Part of me says, gosh, if I think we're going to be at a spot where I can do that in the spring and have the full impact, that's pretty powerful, as opposed to doing it in the fall where I might be able to have 25% capacity at games and it's all based on priority points and things like that. I know they're still going to be on TV, but as long as we can play in the spring, I'm still going to get that same TV revenue. So right. So it's really interesting to me. A school like Fredonia, we don't make a lot of ticket revenue. We don't have some of these same concerns. But, gosh, if I'm Clemson or Alabama or one of those, it would be awfully intriguing for me to really think about how much money I'm losing to try and push this through in the fall, especially when we're probably not going to have that playoff and the national championship that looks the same way as it has before.
Right.
And if those things don't happen, that's more lost revenue. Now, are they better off doing something in the spring than nothing in the something in the fall rather than nothing in the fall and nothing in the spring if this doesn't go the right direction? Maybe. But I think with my own hat on, the more I hear about the cardiac and pulmonary impact of COVID beyond the fever and the chills and the sickness that you have, those potential long-term things that we see impacting people like a football player from Indiana and a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox.
Right.
That's scary stuff. And if my job is, and I do take this very seriously, to ensure as much as possible the safety and welfare of the student athletes that are a part of my department, that's a heavy one. Because do I think that the vast majority of them have a tremendous opportunity to survive the virus? I do. But when you have athletes that are at the top of their sports that are impacted potentially by long-term cardiac issues, that's a tough spot. That's a tough spot. I hope that this can be alleviated with the best use of infectious control teams and epidemiologists and other medical professionals, because parts of this have become very political, and student athletes getting sick and having long-term health issues, that's not political, that's public health. And so without getting on a soapbox, I really hope that we can maneuver this and navigate this in a way that they're not negatively impacted. And gosh, as much as anybody in the world, I look forward to football being back on TV. It's part of my fabric of being. I play golf in the summer. I watch football. We get into NCAA basketball in the spring. Then the match happens, and then the weather's nice. And that's kind of how I've done things for, 40 some odd years. So parts of that having to rework it, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I tell people I'm the kickball coach. And, seeing some of those things that are potentially changed in such a meaningful way that are part of the fabric of our nation, that's it. Wow. Yeah. I'm glad to be the AD at Fredonia State and not Alabama. The paycheck would be nice, but some of these other pieces I would not care for.
Isn't that true? And Jared, man, just thank you for the time today. We know you are busy like most ADs across the country. You are dealing with a lot of the same issues as even the AD at Alabama. And so we thank you for your time. Again, if you would like to follow Jerry, and I would say do it, you can follow Jerry on Twitter at Jer Fisker. That's JERFISKER, Jer Fisker. And you can follow all of Blue Devil Athletics at FredoniaBlueDevils.com. Jerry, it's been a delight to have you on. We wish you nothing but the best as you prepare for all of your student athletes and your student body to come back on campus. And we just hope that this thing continues to get better and better, and that the decisions you've made and the plans that you've made can just be rolled out and you'll have a fabulous school year.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Chris. You know, I'd do anything for you, brother, and appreciate everything you do.
All right. Again, Jerry Fisk, the Director of Athletics at Fredonia. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Well, we have reached the end of another episode of The Vertical View. I want to thank my guest, Director of Athletics, Mr. Jerry Fisk. You can follow Jerry on Twitter at Jer Fisker, JERFISKER, Jer Fisker. And to discover more about Fredonia and Blue Devils Athletics, go to their website at FredoniaBlueDevils.com. If you loved Vertical View, please subscribe, rate, and give us reviews on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, or any of the platforms that you listen to your podcasts. Also, for more information about me, follow me on Twitter at @VE_executive. For now, I'll see you next time at The Vertical View.